White Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Woodbridge.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here.
After we were taken prisoner, Ioli and I, the Japs took us to a native jail in Mantok, where we found some of the other sisters who had managed to land from the Vinebrook. We were both washed and had our hands and legs cleaned up and bandaged and were given an injection by an English woman doctor. Then we went to sleep and slept for hours. When I awoke, a strange thing had happened to my arms. They were in a raised position, hands well above my head, and for the life of me, I couldn't get them down. I thought it would pass, and I sat on the ground quite happily, looking as if someone had said hands up, while we talked about our adventures. There was much to tell, and hear.
Yes, I know, but that was nothing. Did you hear about Veronica Clancy?
No, not yet.
This is priceless. You must hear. Well, listen, she arrived into the customs house to be taken prisoner. Well, you know what a big girl Clancy
is.
Yes, she's all of 11 stone.
Well, she strolled in with complete nonchalance, dressed in her corsets and a man's coat. She'd used a uniform as a sail and brought a raft in that way.
Oh, I can just see it. Clancy standing up there, hanging onto a sail like the Valkyrie riding the storm. Oh, it's beautiful.
Jeff, it's good to see you. I just heard that you were here.
Wynn Davis. Oh, this is grand.
Oh, yes. Well, has anyone shown you around yet?
Oh, she's only woke up a little while ago.
What's happened to your hands?
Oh, I can't get them down, Wynn. They're sort of getting pins and needles in them now, too.
Jeff, try shaking them a bit.
Oh, they won't move. They're stiff as boards. Oh, well, it'll pass. Who said something about showing me around?
I did. But really, you could see most of it from here. This place is a coolie jail.
Look, is it all concrete?
The sort of quadrangle is, yes. Oh, it's got an iron roof. That's why it's so sizzling hot.
You've been in our dormitory, haven't you?
Well, I went to sleep somewhere, but I didn't see it. Oh. I just went out like a light.
Well, then you'd better come in and have a look.
Okay.
Come on, this way. Well, now. There you are, my girl. Your future home.
Oh, Lord. It's a bit grim, isn't it? What are those concrete slab things along the walls?
Now, that is where you sleep.
Oh,
and
no.
And that is what you sleep on. 20 of us lying abreast on each side. It's rather like being a fish in a shop window. There's 40 people to each dormitory. You'll find you're rather inclined to slide onto the floor. The slab's at such an angle. But you soon get used to it.
Phew, it's a bit high in here, isn't it?
It is putrid. I don't know if you can get used to that, too. I haven't yet.
But what is it?
Down here at the end is a deep concrete drain. See?
Yes.
Well, that is what in polite circles is called the ladies' powder room. Toilet to you. Everyone uses it, including the Japs.
Oh, no. But it's just open to the wide world.
That's right. Oh, then over here... Here we have... A tong.
A what?
A tong.
Well, it looks like a horse trough.
So it might, but it's a tong, nevertheless. Oh, it's where you bath.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. You stand here and whisk a tiny amount of water over yourself.
And where do you get the water, Wynne? Mm.
It trickles in at this end. For drinking water, you line up in an endless queue outside at a tap. A tap that drips a cupful of water in 20 minutes. But, of course, being in the sun, you get a fine suntan while you're waiting.
Oh, over here, Jeff, we keep our eating bowls. Quite a collection.
The kids told me there were about 600 people in the camp. Nuns, civilian and service men and women and children. Survivors representing 70-odd ships that were sunk that week in Banker Strait. There were a lot of wounded among them, so the nurses got busy and cleared one dormitory to use as a hospital. There were three doctors, two British and one German, and quite a lot of nurses apart from us, so we did our best. I was useless for 2 weeks as my arms stayed in the air. I thought they'd never come down again, and of course I had to be bathed, dressed and fed. We were fed twice a day, at midday and at 4 o'clock. We would stand for hours in line, waiting for our ration to be doled out.
Oh, I can't think why we have to stand in this awful heat for so long. Why can't we wait in the shade and come over for our ration when the line is shorter?
James tried that the other day and was told she couldn't have anything because she wasn't in line. No,
it just doesn't seem worth waiting for anyway, does it? One spoonful of filthy rice.
No. Oh, I suppose it's better than nothing.
It's the most evil-looking stuff I've ever seen. All grey and burnt. And as for that lukewarm wash they call tea...
No, it helps wash it down.
Oh, did you hear about Jenny Greer?
No.
She found a piece of potato as big as sixpence in her stew last evening, as well as a splinter of pork.
Well, I had a sliver of something pink. I thought it was carrot.
No. Pork. We asked...
Oh, well, we're nearly there. I've got your bowl, Jeff. I'll feed you today.
Oh, thanks, Wynne. It's awful to be such a nuisance.
Hello, girls. Wynne just got
Hello,
yours.
Jenny.
Yes, there was some hold-up again.
Whew, there just isn't enough air in this place to go around. Oh, Wynne, you go on with your meal. I'll feed Jeff. I've had mine.
Well, one thing, it doesn't take long to eat, if you can get it down.
You know, unless there's a change of diet soon, there'll be an outbreak of beriberi. How the women with kids managing, I just don't know.
Surely the nymphs must organize us properly soon. I mean, so much unrest among all the different people. The Chinese are upset at being classed with the Asiatics. The Eurasians are definitely hostile to the Europeans. Oh, it's dreadful.
Quick, it's raining.
Oh, no!
We need some of the ship's oil out of our hair.
Oh, come on, quickly. Cool down a bit.
Come on, let's...
So we'd all dash out into the rain and try to get rid of some of the dirt and greasy oil that most of us were still covered in. It was pretty hopeless, as there was no soap and only one towel in the camp. But it did cool us off for a few minutes. As I walked back to the dormitory, dripping wet and starting to steam again, an odd thing happened.
I don't think it's made any difference
to
me.
Oh, it was wonderful, though.
It's just made a bit more oil run down the face.
Oh, my hair's straggling in my eyes. I can't get it out.
Oh, drat these silly arms. Jeff,
what's the matter?
Hey, what's up?
I don't know. Jeff was just walking along and suddenly doubled up. Jeff.
Oh, it's all right. My arms have come unstuck.
Oh, it hurts.
It's all right. It'll go in a minute. I hope.
Yeah, Jeff, let's see if we can rub them a bit. Get the circulation.
Oh, well, careful of the hands.
Steady.
Oh, I thought it was bad enough before. Cramp and pins and needles. Oh, this.
Oh, come on, Jeff. We'll see if we can haul you into the slab and give you a massage. Oh.
After the pain had gone, it was wonderful to have my arms in their normal position again. But even so, they were still pretty useless. Even the simple act of undressing had taken two people to help me. We went to bed at 7 in the evening, always hungry. And in spite of the sweltering heat, we soon got cold lying on the bare concrete. I have never seen such sights as the Australian Army Nursing Service putting itself to bed. A mixture of old pants, sarongs, cast-off pyjamas and bits of old material. Anything we could swathe around ourselves that would protect us from the swarms of mosquitoes. Then, just as we were settled down for the night, our sweet-minded captors would start their little games. All the lights would be switched on, and then, when the whole camp was awake and the babies crying, they would turn them off until we'd settle down again. There was another little trick they had.
Oh. How many times is that to let them work an old place up?
Three. Maybe we'll get some peace now.
Listen. Someone's coming in the dormitory at the other end.
Who is it?
Must be one of the guards. Yes, look. He's flashing a torch.
What in heaven's name is he at? He's shining the light in people's faces.
There's another one behind him. If they try any fun and games, I'll scream blue murder.
What's that? Something hit my leg. What are you doing with that bayonet, you little ape?
Where next for the torch, Wynne? Well, have a good look, you little toad.
Ostari!
You filthy little swine. Here comes the other one. Hold on, Jet. He's running his bayonet down everyone's legs like a little boy running a stick down a fence.
Except that the bayonet hurts.
No! You get on, Bobby! Jeff! Oh, Jeff, did he hurt you?
No.
What did you call him?
Japanese pig, it was all I could think of.
Shouldn't. He might have... Well, he might have done anything to
I
you.
Can't stand the way they belittle us.
They can't belittle us. They can make us do things that we hate, and they can torment us, but never belittle us or get us down. They'll try their darndest, but they won't succeed. We won't let them.
Thanks, Wynne. I'm sorry I was a fool. I just got so mad.
Oh, forget it. Are your legs cut badly?
Not too badly. They'll do till morning.
Mine too. We've no bandages anyway. Oh, well. Good night, old thing.
Life in the Cooley jail dragged on. There was a feeling of unrest. We didn't seem to be able to organize ourselves. We kept thinking from day to day that we'd be moved. There was nothing to do all day but walk up and down or play bridge. We had one pack of cards between us. Goodness knows where they came from. The nights were made hideous by the guards. They tramped through our quarters, flashing their torches on us, and continued to run their bayonets along our legs until they were raw. And we had our time cut out trying to stay put on those awful slabs. If you started to slip and slide off, you took your neighbor with you. You were so tightly packed. Once we thought we had the bed question fixed, for a few of us anyway. One day I was watching some of the others play bridge.
Very, very nicely played, partner.
Thank you.
Well, let's game and rubber.
What a game, Jeff.
Oh, no thanks, Mitz. My hands are still a bit useless. I can't hold the cards.
Have you had them looked at today, sister?
Oh, yes, Sister Jane. They look a lot better. But it's slow without any sort of treatment for them.
There you are. You're dear, Ione.
All right. Come on, Sister James. You and your partner had better buck up. You're losing a fortune to us.
Yeah. Not doing very well, are we? Just as well it's only a friendly game.
Hey! Hey, girls! Look what I've got!
Who's that calling?
That's Wynne Davis. Oh, what on earth has she got?
Oh, come here! Come on and give me a hand!
Oh, come on, Ione.
Okay. I suppose we'd better.
Come on, Wynne.
Hang on. All
just right. When I had a good hand.
Oh, Wynne,
where did you find it? Here, let me help.
Oh, don't be an ass, Ayala. You can't carry it. You can hardly walk, and you get me old legs. Oof. Oh, there we are.
Well, a mattress. Where on earth did you get that?
I just found it.
But where?
I just found it lying around. Oh, it was half covered with rubbish. No one had seen it, so I took it.
Good for you.
You're quite sure it didn't belong to anybody?
Yes, quite sure, Sister James. Now, what I thought we could do is put it on the slab sideways. Then at least five of us could lie on it. We could let everyone have a turn on it.
Winnie Mae Davis, you're quite a girl.
Well, you don't think I'd keep it for myself, do you? Come on, Mitch, we'll get it inside.
All right. Hey, on one condition.
Yeah, what's that?
That I help to try it out.
I've never
seen anything look so wonderful. Oh, just imagine a real mattress.
It wasn't such a big success after all. We'd just be all fixed and dozing off when the mattress would start to slide and we would go through the air with the greatest of ease. However, we didn't have it for long because some very sick English nursing sisters came in one night after being on a raft for 6 days, so we gave it to them. They were badly shocked and sunburned, but they soon recovered. One day, we were yarning about things. I was telling the kids about something that had happened while we were still at the schoolhouse hospital in Singapore when we were trying to nurse while the bombs rained down. Just before we evacuated, I was tidying up the sterilizing room. Well, kids, I went outside to empty the water out of a sterilizer, and there, to my horror, I saw two Jap soldiers sitting under a palm tree, their Tommy guns beside them, fanning themselves. Mm. I dropped the sterilizer and fled inside.
What happened?
Well, I saw Dot Freeman and told her. She didn't believe me. So we dashed out again, and they'd gone. Of course, Dot didn't ever believe me then.
Well, it was like the time at Johor when I looked out the window and saw what I thought was a wonderful fireworks display. All the lights of Singapore were glittering and twinkling away, and the place was a blaze of neon. There were planes zooming about all over the sky. There were wonderful streaks of electric blue darting through the air, and here and there a great red blossom of fire. It was wonderful to watch.
What was it, Ioli?
Well, we were told it was a practice raid.
Was it?
No. It was the fall of Singapore. It was a real thing. But none of us could believe it.
I know. You just can't seem to grasp.
Look out. Here comes one of the guards wandering over this way.
Oh, what can he want? Surely they aren't going to take our names and numbers again, are they?
Yo. Stand.
Good heavens, English.
Stand.
Yeah, well, I'm doing my best. Oh, I'm stiff.
You stand more fast now.
Ioli!
Rave along. Come here.
Well?
Uncover hands.
Don't be ridiculous. Her hands are injured. She has to have them bandaged.
Uncover hands.
I tell you, her hands are injured.
Hurt. Don't leave her alone, you little swine.
I'll uncover my hands. And I hope the sight of them puts you off your dinner.
Here, let me help you, Jeff.
Thanks, Wing.
You keep rings under there? They belong to us. You are Australian swine. Australian swine can't have rings. Hurry.
Yeah, so that's it. Well, you've got a disappointment coming to you, little man. There.
Oh. Huh?
What do you think?
Perhaps not enough. Call them out. All right. Go. Wait.
Now what?
You have watch. You're hiding it?
I'm not hiding it. It's on my wrist. It got full of water. It's no good.
You give it.
He's got no right to take it.
Don't argue with him, Sister James. It's not worth it. Wynne, see if you can get it undone, will you?
Right. Buckle's rusted. I can't do it.
I will get it.
Take your hands off me.
I will get it.
Oh, take your hands off.
I will never see. Let's not go.
I told you that.
I will fix it.
You needn't bother.
No bother. I will fix it. Write this.
No.
And this. You.
Yes.
Next, troll to stand up. Stand up quick. And you.
Yes.
Don't talk so much. Or make it that you can't talk at all. Understand?
Here's your watch, Jeff.
No, thanks.
It's not much good now. The glass is broken and my hands are gone.
I'll keep it anyway. The family gave it to me when I got my certificate.
Are you all right, Ernie?
Yes, just fuming.
Little son of a... Nippon. That isn't what I was going to say.
I know.
Oh, he could see that I owed his legs a bandage, that she can hardly walk.
What about you, Sister James? He called you a beauty. Your cheek's still red.
It isn't the physical pain. It's the indignity of such treatment that riles me. I'm going to report this to the officer in charge of the camp.
I don't think that'll do much good. For one thing, they only speak English when it suits them. I don't suppose you could care less anyway.
Here, Jeff. I'll put these rags you call bandages back on your hands. Thanks.
I'm going to report that soldier.
Before you go, Sister James, I vote we should settle on a plan here and now.
Oh? What sort of plan?
A plan of reaction to these little yellow buzzards. Whatever they do or say or make us do, we should never show them we care. Well, Sister James said it's the indignity that hurts. And that's what they want, to see us belittled, to make us lose our dignity and our pride.
Jeff's right. It's the only way. Just go on our way regardless.
Otherwise, they'll make white coolies of us. And I'd rather be dead. Talked it over with the rest of the girls, and they decided it was the best thing to do. Never to let the Japs get us down with their sadistic treatment and brutishness. It was wonderful the way the kids stood up to the Nips. Little mitts, knee-sized to a grasshopper, standing calmly while a guard screamed abuse at her, and when he finished, just smiling and walking away. Or Aurum, still weak from that awful head wound, quietly picking herself up from the ground where a backhanded slap had sent her sprawling, dusting herself down, folding her hands, and waiting for what would come next. I wondered, I expect we all did, how long we'd last before we cracked and flew at one of them and bit him. But it was wonderful to see how enraged they became when we refused to grovel. As Mitz said,
"There's no doubt about it. It takes brave men to knock women around. The Emperor must be very proud of his little band of gallant soldiers."
"When I think that before the war I wanted to visit the land of cherry blossom."
"Oh, that's nothing. I used to like the Mikado."
"Silly as
Iole." "Oh, look. There's someone coming in the gate. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if it was the rest of the kids and Matron Paskey?"
"Well, it's a woman. Only one, though." "Oh. They're shutting the gate again.
Bullwinkle.
Sure.
One of our girls. Vivian Bullwinkle. Come on, let's go and get her."
"Yes, let's go. Viv.
Come on over this way.
What's the matter? What's happening?
It's Sister Bullwinkle.
Come on,
she's just come into the camp."
We were terribly relieved to see her, and she was just as relieved to see us. We hoped this meant that other sisters might gradually come in. But when Vivian told us her story, our hopes were crushed.
Listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend and produced by Fifi Banvard for Australasian Radio Productions.